Desire and interest in your prayers this afternoon. I'd like to begin over in the 27th Proverb. Proverbs 27, we'll begin reading with verse 17. And the burden that the Lord had put on my heart to share for this afternoon, it really dovetails with the lesson in Sunday school this morning in a lot of ways. Proverbs 27, verse 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, probably all read that scripture and heard that scripture different times, but what he's saying here is that as hard iron or steel will bring a knife to a sharp edge, it says that when it's properly whetted, so a friend will sharpen. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Let me illustrate it this way. If you spend a lot of time with people that deal with superfluous issues and just deal on the surface of things, you will become, more often than not, you'll become a person that deals on the surface. If you deal with people that are intellectuals, now there are people we say they're intellectuals. It's the things that, the way that they approach life, the way they think of it. You spend time with intellectuals, regardless maybe of your IQ level, it will begin to change the way that you think and approach a problem. And as iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. In other words, the people that we associate with will affect the way that we are ourselves. I had who on my notes, but I wrote up there whom, so we're going to fix that. With whom have you been? That's even more correct. All right, with whom have you been? That's the correct title. Grammar is important. Iron sharpeneth iron. So, if you spend time with people that don't talk properly, it's going to start having an effect on you. We moved to Missouri, and no offense to anybody, but I told my children, there's a few things that I said, if I ever say it, you take me to the back 40. In other words, there's a proper way to say certain things. And there is an educated way to say certain things. And there is that in different circles approach and talk different ways. Now, sometimes there's not a right or wrong, okay? Sometimes you say some things a certain way in Missouri, they say a little different in Louisiana, and they say a little bit different in Oregon. Not right or wrong, it's just different. But do you realize that all of us tend to adapt to the people that we're around? And people still today sometimes ask me, where are you from? They can tell that I was not from the Midwest, but I will say they can tell I'm from somewhere different. But when I go back to the Northwest, do you know that they kind of wonder where I'm from too? Because I've been in the Midwest more than I have been in the Northwest, so there gets a little bit of accent or way of saying things because it's who I've been around. And that's not all, that can be a good thing. But do you realize that what's more important than the way that we talk, the accent that we have, the way we phrase things, whether we say with whom have you been or who have you been with, you know, there is a proper way in this case, there's a grammatically proper way. Iron sharpens iron. I want to be around people that will make me better. I want to be around people that will move me from where I am to cause me to think beyond myself and think deeper than what I thought before. And that's the reason why it's good to expand our, to move beyond sometimes the sphere, our comfort zone, because our comfort zone means that this is the way I am. But if we want to grow in life, if you want to become educated, you have to work at it, don't you? You have to read. You have to study. You have to begin to exercise your mind. Well, the scripture also, a very familiar passage in Psalms 1:1, says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, blessed is the man, because if you walk in the counsel of the ungodly, what's the result going to be in your life? We'll end up being ungodly. I want to caution you children to listen to me for just a minute. You children and young people, listen to godly counsel. When you have people and friends that are trying to advise you about major decisions in your life and they're not serving the Lord themselves, be very, very careful about listening to their counsel. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the way of sinners, because iron does sharpen iron. And now what's going to happen if you take something that's dull and you rub two dull things together and you don't do it properly? There's a proper way to sharpen a knife. There's a proper way to do it. But do you realize that we are influenced by the people we are around? Question I wrote on the board with some help. With whom have you been? Do you know that many times you can tell who someone has been with based on the way they talk and the way they conduct themselves and their perspective of life? You can listen to someone and it's like, that sounds familiar. Someone told me recently, they were talking about my brother. They said they used to sit under our ministry for quite a while, and they haven't been around us for quite some time. And my brother had a meeting somewhere, and they sent us a note, and they said there were so many similar mannerisms and different things. It was almost like I was listening to you preach. Now, whether that's good or bad, the point being was that we had a common background. We were raised a certain way. We were taught from the Word of God a certain way. We were raised under the same pastor, same parents, and that meant that there was a similarity. I've watched pastors and the Sunday school teachers and sit back almost amused at how similar they were. The Sunday school teacher almost, they have the same mannerisms of each other because that's who they listen to Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. So pretty soon the mannerisms and in the approach to things, you could see something common. That's a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing when it's in the right way. But the same thing applies if we spend a lot of time. And this is why you young people and children, be careful about the friends that you keep. Be careful about the friends that you spend a lot of time with, because a rock will get a hole in it when it's under a dripping faucet for years. You say, well, it's not going to affect me. You be around someone long enough and there's going to start being an effect. I've seen it with ministers. I've seen it with all of us. None of us are exempt. And when you're around someone for a long period of time, you will start to pick up some similarities. It's why husbands and wives sometimes, peculiarly enough, they almost start to look like each other sometimes. Have you noticed that? And it's not really that their face has changed, but it's just because when they're together so much, they tend to think alike and talk alike and it's a pretty amazing. Well, we are known by the company that we keep. Question is, with whom have you been? Someone comes along and listens to you and watches your life. You know, we could turn to the letters in the book of Revelation, and I wonder how accurate it would be to look at someone's life and say, you came from the Philadelphia congregation, didn't you? I could tell by the way you acted and all your perspective on life, on the things of God. You're from Philadelphia, aren't you? Yeah, you're from Laodicea. Just, there's kind of a lukewarmness, lack of love. I can kind of tell you're from Smyrna. Kind of see where you're from. Do you know what affects where we are? Affects what we're listening to? So whom have you been with? When you spend time with people that provoke thought, you can start thinking deeper. And have you ever listened to someone say, well, you sound just like... Have you ever stopped? Why do they sound just like that? Because they've been keeping company. Because they've been with them. They've been talking. And do you know, on perspective of life, it can be the same way. Someone can come along and a situation arises and you start talking to them about, say there's a problem situation. And you start listening to them. It's like, I know who you've been talking to. You're talking the same way. I know the perspective that you're coming from because that's who they've been listening to. That's who they've been hanging out with. That's who they've been, that's where they've been spending time. It matters who we're with. It matters who we're listening to. Are you listening to ungodly people? Are you taking what they say, or are you listening to spiritual people? And I found that time has a way. Time has a way of proving itself through time. But I think it's important for all of us, young and old alike, to take stock and inventory. Who am I with? What influences am I putting myself under? What influences are our children being put under? What is being taught to them tacitly by the people that we are having close to them in their life? How are they going to be affected by the message that their companions send to them? Well, I'd like us to move now with that as kind of a foundation over to the book of Acts. And I want to correct something. I meant no disparagement when I said when we moved to Missouri. I know there's just different ways of phrasing things, so please understand that. In Acts in the 4th chapter in the 13th verse, and this is really the crux of the burden that the Lord put on my heart, there were people that were listening to the disciples preach. And this is what they said. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceive that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now let's stop there for a moment. The people were listening to Peter and John, and how would you like someone to come up to you and say, I perceive that you're unlearned and ignorant? Not a real compliment. At least, I wouldn't be complimented. What it was that they were unlearned. They were not men of literature. If we begin to go around and quote classical literature here this afternoon, I don't know how far we'd get. But do you know when you pursue education, you begin to get exposed to more than just your life right here. That's what education does. It begins to, maybe you're not an expert on all the different subjects of mathematics and science and philosophy and psychology and all of the things, geography, all of the different things in the world. But what it does is opens up your mind that you can begin to realize there's more than just my little world. And so they looked on Peter and John and they knew that these were unlearned men. Now take note, it didn't say they were stupid. Okay? Didn't say they had a low IQ. It said they were unlearned. In other words, they didn't go to school. They weren't adept, maybe. The phraseology of things, the way they expressed themselves, they could tell these were not finely tuned speakers, educated speakers. Well, Peter and John, what were they? They were fishermen, weren't they? They had learned how to fish. And you know that in that capacity, they would have been a whole lot more educated than I would have been. You know, I wouldn't even know how to fling the nets outright. So in that capacity, they were educated, but as the world looked on them, maybe they hadn't been educated in the things of this world as much. Well, it said they were ignorant and unlearned. And that word ignorant does not mean, again, excuse the word use of the word stupid, but it doesn't mean that they didn't know anything. But when it says ignorant, what it meant was it was referring to they had not been in public life or public office. When someone has not been in public office very long or been there at all, there are certain things they haven't been used to doing. We saw some of that in this last presidential election. It was very evident that the man had not held public office because he was used to saying whatever he thought. Well, you will learn, and I think he's already starting to learn that lesson, that you can't just say whatever comes to your mind. Well, so they looked on Peter and James and John, and they perceived that they hadn't held public office. They had not been in a position to speak to people regularly, and they saw that they weren't learned. But it didn't stop there. It said, but they took knowledge of them. It said they marveled. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. You know, I believe education is very important. Education is important, but folks, there's something a whole lot more important than education. Something a whole lot more important. It said they marveled. In other words, they sat back in awe. These men have not studied their letters. These men have not been formally educated. These men have not had public office, but there was something about the message that they were preaching and teaching. It said they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. With whom have you been? The people looked on and they saw, you must have been with Jesus. Not by the way that you spoke, in other words, that you got the whom's right, and you got the with whom have you been, not because you got those in the right order, but the way the confidence and authority and the persuasiveness in which they share the gospel message, they knew those men had been with Jesus Christ. Folks, it is a good thing to be with people that where we can broaden our horizons in a positive, good way. But there, the most important thing this afternoon is that we have spent time with the Lord Jesus. That when people look on our lives, they can say, when they begin to ask, with whom have you been? The way that you talk, the things that you say, that there is a confidence and a persuasiveness in how you believe. That they know that you've been with Jesus. I think there is no greater compliment. You know, I may not pronounce all my words right all the time, and sometimes things may get mixed up, and maybe sometimes I might have who instead of whom, but do you know there's no greater compliment for anybody than for someone to look on and say, I perceive that you've been with Jesus. I see that you've spent time with Him. You've imbibed in His Spirit. I say you're following His instruction. Wasn't Paul was speaking? Now, Paul, on the other hand, was a very educated man. He told in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, I speak in more tongues than you all. He was talking, he was a learned man. He was an educated man. He was able to speak in more languages than anybody else that he was writing to. But yet, this is what Paul said, brethren, 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. And there is some scripture that would bear out that it's possible that Paul had a speech impediment. There's some evidences for that. But Paul said, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And he said, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is the reason. There is nothing wrong with us being educated. Understand, if it's done for the right reason, there's nothing wrong with education. But folks, education will never give you grace. Education and understanding of all the mysteries of the world will never bring you in contact with God unless you have spent time with Jesus. And with all of Paul's education, he said, when I came to you, it was not with men's wisdom. There are a lot of churches that we could go to this morning today that there would be eloquent speakers. There would be persuasive speakers. There would be speakers that can draw on the emotions of people. They can entertain you and they can captivate their audience. But folks, there is nothing like the simple power of God, the simple gospel message when we have spent time with the Lord Jesus. And they marveled at that, and Paul said, this is my challenge. This was his challenge. When I came, I didn't come to you with men's wisdom, but I came simply preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came preaching Him in demonstration of spirit and in power. Folks, I would that we be challenged this afternoon to spend some more time with Jesus. Spend more time with the Lord. With whom have you been? I've been with Jesus. When you're having difficulties in life and you're looking for answers and you're looking for guidance and you have situations, Lord, it feels like I'm in a no-win situation or it feels like I don't know what to do here. All I can say is you spend time with Jesus, folks, and let His virtue, let His graces, let His influence empower you that in spite of what you face, you can still have a spirit of love and forgiveness and gentleness. Because you've been spending time with Jesus. But if you spend time with people who are telling you, stand up for yourself, don't put up with this, act this way and act that way, folks, it's going to become evident in your life. But if we will spend time with the Lord Jesus, it's why it's important for us to spend time in prayer. It's why it's important to spend time in the Word of God. How do I know who Jesus is? How can I spend time with Him? Spend time in His Word. What did He teach? And you know, there are things that sometimes people say, well, how do you know what God would do? Well, do you know what? There are some things that you might not know what my wife would do in a situation. And there are some things maybe I've never asked her what she would do in a situation. But if you came and asked me, I could tell you. You know why? I've lived with her for 22 years, 23 years, 24, how long? 23. Do you know the more you get to know somebody, the more you will know what they think? The more you get around someone, the more you know, the more you listen to them, the more you do things with them, you start knowing who they are. You start knowing what they're thinking. That's what we need, folks, in this world. We need to know the mind of God. And how are we going to know the mind of God when people say, well, it's not spelled out in the Bible? But I can know the mind of the Lord when I know Jesus. And I'm not going to be so arrogant to say I've never misunderstood His mind. And I've never made mistakes. But when the more we spend time with the Lord, we know what Jesus did. We know the mind that He had. We know the spirit that He had. And that's the mind we want in us. That's why the scripture says in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, that people would look on our life and say, I can tell who you've been with. How can you tell? Well, I see Jesus. You've been spending time with Jesus. You know, you can tell a real difference between someone that's worked up over something and they go spend time in prayer. Then you meet back up with them and you can see there's been a change. What was the change? It was who they were spending time with. Folks, we need to spend more time. We heard this morning in Sunday school. We need to spend more time with the Lord. We need to spend more time with Jesus. Scripture says to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To study. People, when people come and say, what do you believe about this? Well, my church teaches. How far is that going to carry us, folks? You say, well, the minister, how effective is that going to be when I go on the mission field and I'm sitting there with ministers from all different areas or people that know nothing about who we are and I say, well, the ministers had a minister's meeting and they said that, who cares? Who cares? It doesn't mean a lot to you if I came and told you, folks, you need to change this because the ministers in Pakistan got together and decided that, and all of you are going to say, oh yes, we'll do it then, the ministers in Pakistan. Is that going to mean anything to you? It doesn't mean anything more to them either. So where are we going to get our guidance and our direction? We need to spend time with Jesus. And how are we going to know Him unless I study His Word? So when people come and say, Brother Michael, why do you do that? It's because thus saith the Word of God. Because we studied it. We spent time with it. Folks, there is a dearth of spiritual understanding right among God's people. That is not in an indictment, but fair is fair. I want to make us aware of it this morning, this afternoon. There is a dearth of knowledge of why There is a dearth, folks. We need to spend more time in the Word of God, that we understand salvation, that we understand the Holy Spirit, that we understand holiness, that we understand the kingdom of God, that we understand these things. So when we're faced with problems in life, I know the Lord. I studied His Word, and where I don't know, I can just keep coming back to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know what to do, but let me get close in Your presence, that Your mind can be my mind, or my mind become His mind, that I can be under the Spirit and influence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we need to get beyond ourselves, and iron sharpens iron. This message was not to advocate saying, okay, I want to go get around some people that are studying classical literature. That's not the point of this message. The point of the message is we need to get closer to Jesus Christ. We need to get closer to Him that He can shine in our life. The Scripture talks about over in Ephesians 4:13, till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That ought to be our goal, that we come into the image, that we come unto the knowledge of the Son of God, who a perfect man. Folks, that's what we're going to be measured to at the end. So Lord, help us today that we would keep Christ ever before us. That Lord, I want to get as close to You as I can. And I want to study what You did. I want to study Your love and Your forgiveness. And yes, Your judgment. We're living in a politically correct time, and Lord, help us as God's people not to be self-righteous, but not to cater to the ungodly. I've seen too much catering to the ungodly. And then on the other hand, sometimes there's just too much self-righteousness too. Lord, help us. What's the answer to those extremes? Lord, help us get close to You. Help us to be close to You, Lord, that we can have the Spirit of love, the Spirit of judgment, not catering to the ungodly, but not standing in our own righteousness. The answer is found in getting close to Jesus Christ. So I would just conclude with this. With whom have you been? The way you talk, your perspectives on life. You know, I've watched people start spending time with someone in a new relationship, a new friendship. And you see them spending time, and after a while, they start picking up. They start picking up things that you know where they got. Sometimes good, sometimes it's not. You know, the things that we pick up spiritually, I want them to come from Jesus. I want my relationship with the Lord to be stronger than the friendships that we have, family members. Everybody has family members that are not saved. Be friends to them. Love them. But be really careful that you don't start picking up their perspectives. Be really careful. You children, you have unsaved people in your families and friends. That's all right. You love them and you care for them. But be very careful that you don't start picking up their philosophies and their viewpoints about God and His people and the church. And you be very careful about that. The answer for all of us, young and old alike, is to spend time with Jesus. When we are in temptation, when we are in trials, when we have questions, who you have been with is going to start coming out. So Lord, help me to spend more time with You. I am personally challenged. I want to spend more time with Jesus. We are so busy. We all have so many things to do. But folks, there's no better or greater influence than sitting at the feet of our Lord Jesus, learning of Him, that we could have the mind.